Psalm 78 and verse number 1, and I will see what the Lord has in store for this great day of worship. But look at Psalm 71 and verse number 41, and if you're able to, I'd like for you to stand. We'll read one verse, we'll pray, and we'll ask our God for his help today. If you're able to stand, Psalm 78 and verse number 41. The Bible says this, yea, they turned back and tempted God. Watch it. And limited the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says they turned back and tempted God. Watch this. And limited the Holy One of Israel. And one thing about it, our God has the power, our God has the might. But the title of our message this morning is this. Let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, for your help this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. Thank you, Lord, for the good time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for those who gather here today to exalt the name of Jesus, but also, God, be fed from the Word of God. And I do pray, God, to speak directly to us as individuals as well as collectively. I pray, God, you forgive us for any sin in our life that might hinder our worship. We ask, God, to scrub us down, Lord, inwardly and outwardly. Make us a vessel that you can use for your honor and for your glory. Then I pray, God, for that soul that might be here, or the one that may be watching live stream, that's not saved, blood-bought, born again, but that this is the day they receive Jesus as their Savior, and that God will thank you. Then for that one who's already saved, but yet, God, they've grown numb, or perhaps they've grown away from you, I do pray, God, if they come back, you'll welcome them with open arms and give them strength and victory for the journey ahead, and that Father will thank you. Help somebody. And I pray, God, you start with me. Lord, that's it for now. For your son, then we pray, my way, Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Let's not limit God. As the song said a few moments ago, I don't know how, I don't know when, but one thing is for sure, I do know that my God can do it again. And as we hear that song, and as we are uplifted by that song, which is a true song, but did you know, we could limit God. Not that God doesn't have the power or the might. But a lot of times it's us that might hinder. I made a Facebook post yesterday or day before about not being your own stumbling block. Not being your own stumbling block. It's amazing how there be many things that be in our impede our progress. There'll be a stumbling block as we're trying to go forward, and we have to jump over these things. But did you and I know that sometimes we could be the actual stumbling block that's stopping us from getting to where God wants us to get to? And I want to look at least three of those things this morning, but then also how we can also not limit God, but let the limitless God begin to work in our life. The first thing I was looking at the word limited. That word limited we're looking at means confined within limits. It means restricted. The synonyms are constrained or restrained. Something that's holding it back. The antonym, or the opposite of this, is to be unrestricted, to be free, to be unlimited or limitless. Limitless. And we do have a God that has more than enough power to take care of any problem that you and I might be facing. But we could also limit God from doing things in our life. The first one I want to look at is over, and we will come back here later, but look at Matthew 23 and verse 37. Look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 23 and verse number 37. Look what Jesus had to say about a city called Jerusalem. The Bible says in Matthew 23 and verse 37, the Bible says this in Matthew 23, verse number 37. Let me get to 23 and Matthew 22. But look what it says in verse number 37 of chapter 23. Jesus said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Watch this. How often would I, have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings. Watch this though. And ye would not. Wow. Look what he says. He says in this verse, he says, how often would I have gathered you? That word would here means to will or to desire or to determine. In other words, Jesus meant I was determined, I was willing, I was wanting to gather you together as a hen would her own chickens. But then he says this, he says, but, he says here, under me, ye would not, you did not desire, you did not will, you did not determine this to take place. So in other words, Jesus is saying, I had the might and the power to draw you together, but you didn't want me.
Yep.
You didn't desire me to. It's almost like when you're hurting and then somebody comes by and they try to give you a word of comfort or perhaps try to put their arm around you or try to lift you up.
Come on.
And you say, I don't want to hear that.
Yep.
Get out of my face. I don't want to hear that. What you're saying is this, I don't want that comfort, I don't want that peace you're trying to give me, instead I'm going to stay right here. And Jesus says, you know what, I wanted to, but here's the key, you are unwilling.
Mm-hmm.
Our unwillingness can hinder us from letting God do some great things in our life.
Amen.
God wants us to be willing vessels. Even in salvation, the Bible teaches us, he has a force to get saved, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever desires, whosoever wants to, can be saved. He doesn't force anybody to receive Jesus as their Savior. You have to want to. I'm excited this morning. I'm not going to point her out because I'm going to embarrass her. But I'm excited this morning about a young lady that's here right now. And in my office, she was sitting there and we were talking about the Lord. And then I said, now you got to want him. You got to want to have him. And in my office up there, she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. But she, amen. And but she'll testify to you that pastor didn't force me to. You know, I mean, I gave it. Y'all know me. I gave it out to her. Mm-hmm. I said, but I'm not going to force you. I said, you have to want to.
Right.
You have to be willing. And she was willing to receive Christ as her Savior. And by the way, listen, brothers and sisters, as we are willing to receive Christ as our Savior, we got to be willing to let God work in our life. He wants to work in our life.
Yeah.
But are we willing to let him work in our life? Or we said, no, Lord, not. That going to cost too much. You know, too much of my time, or it's going to cause, have to give away some stuff, or to lay some friendships down. I'm not ready right now. Listen, brothers and sisters, what we're doing is we're limiting God.
Right.
God wants to work, but are we willing to work with God? Are we willing? I feel like working in the church. I joke around with BBS. I tell everybody to volunteer. If you don't volunteer, you might get drafted. You know, it's kind of like a little joke, kind of. But anyhow, so, but nonetheless, we want you to be willing to do that. Just like with the choir. We haven't, and you can ask our choir members, not one choir member that I go to and put in a headlock and say, you know you can sing, God? You know you can sing just in that choir? No. I want them to be willing to.
Yeah.
I want them to have that desire too. It's the same thing with our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, man, they were not willing. Then also another verse. Hold that same thought and run with me over to Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation 3 and verse number 20. Look what the Bible says. Revelation 3 and verse number 20. This unwillingness reminds me when we went to the pool there, and the YMCA over here in Hobart. And so, we had Uriah. And so Uriah, Miss Melissa, she's working with Uriah, to help him learn how to swim. But there was one thing he didn't want to do. What was that? Was that the butterfly? Yeah, the butterfly, you know, you lay on your back, you know, and then you go, help, you know. And, at first I was like, huh? But I was teaching you how to ask for help, amen. But at first, like, I don't want to do that butterfly. Now, that's his exact word. It was hilarious. He didn't want to do it at first. But then he wound up doing it. And you know what? He didn't drown. See him right now? Listen. Because she had him. She was there to make sure that he was okay. His mama was on the side to make sure that he was okay. Now, Papa, they was in the deep. Now, I don't know. I can swim on the water for a little bit. I can't do it on top. But if I had to, I told Christian, I would have jumped in there. I would have got him. I would have just threw him out. And then I would just... You know, I had my funeral next week. But nonetheless, but I did my part, get him out of there, amen. But you know what? When he said he was willing, Miss Melissa, but she's awesome. Because you know how the parents are. You go ahead. I said, do the butterfly. You know, she wasn't like she worked with him and she didn't force him to do anything, but he was kicking off the wall and stuff, and she was building his confidence up, but she didn't force him, and we have a God that doesn't force us as well. But watch what it says over here in Revelation 3, verse 20. The Bible, you know the verse? The Bible says this. Jesus says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open it, I'm going to bust it in.
Nope.
He didn't say that. He says in this verse, what is that? He says right here, he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Let me ask us the question this morning. Has he been knocked on the door? Has he been knocking on the door of my heart? And I'm not even talking about salvation. I'm talking about knocking on the door of my heart to do something specific that he would require and ask of us to do. He's knocking and wants to simply open that door and let him come in and begin to work in that situation like only God is able to work. But sometimes, you know, I will get, God, I got this one. I got it. No. Let him in there. And when God begins to work, it will blow our minds. But he will not kick the door in, brothers and sisters. But he says, I'm knocking, and if you open the door, I need you to open the door. And who is it that needs to open the door and like let Christ into that situation? Because we have to be willing. But not only that, the second thing here that can limit God, not only unwillingness. Now, this is going to sting a little bit, but don't say ouch real loud, okay? But go to Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Now, somebody said, well, let me know where this first part goes. No, I'm going to wait. Go over to Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Isaiah 59 and look at verse number 1. Look what the Bible says. Isaiah 59 and look at verse 1 and verse 2. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says to Israel. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But, oh my goodness, y'all, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face, the Bible says, from you, that he will not hear you. So what's the second one, preacher? The second one is unclean lifestyles.
Right.
He says, look what he said. I didn't say this. He says right here, your iniquity, which means your sin, your perversity, your evil, have separated, they have divided between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face, the Bible says, from you. And as I look at that, that word over here, sin here, means habitual sinfulness. Because we already know the scriptures. The Bible teaches us that we've all sinned and come short before God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Then the Bible goes on to say, if we say we have not sinned, we call God a liar. So we know that we have sin. We have a sin nature. We know that, okay? I mean, we woke up sinning. It's like, I didn't sin. Right. You know, okay, if you say so. But nonetheless, though, but he's talking about habitual sinfulness. Habitual. There's some things, if you and I are not careful, we are habitually doing. And that particular sin that we're habitually doing is hindering us. We're not talking about salvation, brothers and sisters. We're talking about hindering us from being used by the Lord. It's hindering us from going further down the road. And we're talking about, and this is going to clarify a little bit more clear. I'm talking about that particular sin that God's been dealing with us about.
Yeah.
So there's some things that God's been dealing with us about this, and we just, you know, we can say it off. But God, it keeps coming up. You get ready to pray and cry out to God. Then all of a sudden, God said, no, what about this? And you're like, well, you know, we all sin. No, we ain't talking about all your sin. I'm not talking about all your sin right now. I'm talking about that particular one.
Come on.
That's the one that's in the way. That's the one that's hindering progress. And notice what the Bible says. God says not that his hands are short that he can't save. In other words, it's not like, y'all still sit way in the back. But nonetheless, nonetheless, it's not like God's hands way down is up here. He can't reach you. Not my ear is too short, I can't say. That's not the issue. Not that my ear is too heavy, I can't hear. But your sin, that's causing me. not to him. So in other words, I need you to do something about that particular sin that I can deal with you about. And look what he says here in the scriptures. The Bible says this. The Bible says in this verse, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand not shortened, that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will," wow, "not hear." Now, that kind of, husbands and wives understand that real good. Because sometimes the husband will not hear.
Yep.
But now, wait a minute. Sometimes the wives too will not hear. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? I can't get no amen on that one. Amen. But anyhow, but nonetheless, sometimes we choose not to hear.
Yeah.
Sometimes my wife's woman would tell me, "You hear what you want to hear." She said amen to yes in 3 years. But it's not that I, and she said, "You got selective hearing." It's not that I got selective hearing. My mother's not that. But it's just that you feel my pain. But it's just like some things just kind of just keep moving, you know. And I told y'all about that one time. Yeah, I know y'all versions before, but some of y'all I wouldn't say it again. But I know because that one time she was talking to me and I was watching this very important game that was on television. You know, there was only like a few seconds left, and I'm sitting there watching it, and then she wants to give discourse on something. I don't know what it was. But I didn't understand anything. She wouldn't even speak English to me. But I was doing it like a good husband does. I was like, And I was just, "What you do?" You go, "Uh-huh." And you pause. You go, "Yeah."
What?
And you pause. But this time, when she said, I was doing that, wasn't that little thing I told some of the men secrets. But nonetheless, it was ain't a secret. But nonetheless, though, and then all of a sudden, she said, "I'm pregnant." I said, "Huh? She heard that, didn't you?" But she wasn't pregnant, but she wanted my attention, amen. But nonetheless, so it's one thing to be able to hear and then choose not to hear. And what the Lord is saying in my ear, this sin thing that I'm trying to deal with you about, it's causing me not to be able to hear you, to be able to work with you. So in other words, an unclean lifestyle, and I'm going to get some more verses here to show how to take care of the remedy of these situations. Let me get to this stuff first. And the third one, I want to look at this one. This is the key one, y'all. This is big time. Go with me to Matthew 13 and verse 58. So we see unwillingness, an unclean lifestyle, and the third one is this, an unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart. Look what the Bible says, the Word of God, in Matthew 13 and verse number 58. Matthew 13 and verse number 58. The Bible says this in Matthew 13. We'll back up and look at verse number 55. The Bible gets the context. The Bible says this in verse 55 of Matthew 13. And they said this, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the mother called Mary and his brethren? James and Joseph and Simon and with Judas?" He goes on to say, "And the sisters, are they not all with us? Where then has this man all these things? What was up in this?" And look what Jesus says. "And they were offended in him, but Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And the Bible says this, "And he did not many mighty works there." Why? Because of their unbelief. It wasn't that Jesus did not have the power to do it, but it was because of their unbelief that was limiting Jesus from doing what only Jesus was able to do. And brothers and sisters, if you and I are not careful, we will unbelieve God, we won't believe him, and therefore that itself will limit God from doing certain things in our life that he desires, that he longs to do. And if we're struggling with belief, hey, be like that father. And when Jesus said, "Does thou believe that I can do this?" I'm paraphrasing a little bit, and then he responded, he said, "Lord, I believe." Watch this though.
Help my
unbelief.
Amen.
Help me where I'm struggling. Help me where I'm having a hard time. And the Bible says that Jesus healed that man's situation. He healed that man's child because he was honest. He says, "I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me where I'm struggling." And brothers and sisters, that's what when we get, we need to be real. We need to be genuine. We need to be transparent and be honest about exactly where we are with certain situations that we are facing. And if you're struggling, say, God, I'm struggling. I want to believe you. I want to trust you that you've got this situation. But I must be honest. I need your help to help me in my unbelief. What do you think God's going to do? He's going to help you.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're confessing to him. I need your help. And he'll begin to encourage us, whether it be through the word of God or by a particular person or a situation or circumstance, but then God will help us to believe him and to trust him. What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes our unwillingness will limit God. Sometimes an unclean lifestyle. Sometimes an unbelieving heart. But what's the conclusion? What's the application? How can I remedy these situations? Number one, for the first one, let's have a willing spirit to follow Jesus. And open our hearts to him. Let's have a willing spirit. Look with me and follow Jesus. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 21. Straight from the page of the Word of God. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. And hey, if anybody knows what it means to follow Jesus, it's old Pete. Because y'all remember having a Pete. Pete says, man, I'm going with you all the way. He says, Peter, you're going to cuss before I go, I'm not. And then all of a sudden, the folks say, hey, you sound like one of them. And Peter says, I don't sound like them. Watch this. He started cussing. So he knows what it means to follow Jesus. Look about, and he understands what it means to be forgiven and to be restored. But look what the Bible says in verse 21. Peter says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow what?
His steps.
His steps. Y'all know how little word steps. That word steps here in this verse, it means footprint or track or trace. Jesus said, follow my footprints. And y'all know how it is around here. That snow gets to hit the ground. And man, that stuff is high. Especially when it's real high. And you're like, man, I don't want to get that in my shoes. So what you'll do, if you see somebody has already walked that path before, you'll just follow their footprints.
Yep.
You just get in there, and then they won't get it back. As long as you follow their footprints. I was in youth camp last week. I think it was last week. Whatever it was close by. But nonetheless, I was in youth camp. And one of our counselors, a young guy, great Christian, but he was in over in Iraq, and he was one of the guys that had to go by there to make sure there weren't any bombs that were on the road. That was his job. He even showed me the pictures of some of those things that had been hidden. And there was one in particular, how they actually rolled right over it, but it was by the grace of God that thing did not explode. But this is what he told me. That first vehicle, he said the first vehicle, when it would go through there to make sure there was nothing there, what everybody else would do behind them was follow their path.
Yep.
Because they knew that there were no bombs. There was no, we call them things,
IEDs.
The IEDs. There were no IEDs on the road. As long as they followed the path that vehicle had already gone through. But now if they were to detour or get off track, then there's a possibility they could hit something. And we have a Savior named Jesus Christ that says, listen, follow my steps. Follow my footprints. But in order to follow the footprints, guess what? You know it. You got to be willing.
Yep.
Because ain't no question. You got to be willing to follow the footprints of Jesus. Somebody said, what are some of those footprints? Now this might stay a little bit. Forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
All the folks that was spitting on him, that was hitting on him, and all those things, and laughing. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Dennis, didn't you say something about Father, forgive them for their what?
No, not what they do.
No, not what they do? Wait a minute! Somebody said, somebody just slapped up the side of me. I'm slapping back. I'm going to do. Jesus, it's not that. But I ain't Jesus. But hold on a second. But it's amazing how he'll empower us.
Yeah.
Not to respond, not to retaliate. You say, yeah, but the Bible says, vengeance mine, said the Lord. Yeah. Said who?
The Lord.
Amen. Not us. He said, vengeance mine, said the Lord. I will repay. God will take care of that situation, but that doesn't mean you're sitting there waiting on them. This might be the day they get their return investment on my pain. Wait a minute. That ain't following his footsteps.
No.
Listen, brothers and sisters, we need to be willing to follow the footsteps of Jesus. It's amazing how he will help us. Not only that, not only be willing, but the second thing I'm going to show you is this. Not only that, let's come to the Lord. We need cleaning. Let's come to the Lord for cleaning. Look what the Bible says over in John 15, verse 3. I know it's a familiar passage, but look at John chapter 15 and verse 3. Okay? Look what the Bible says here. John 15 and verse number 3. The Bible says, word of God, verse number 3, Jesus says this, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says the channel by which you are clean is through that word that I've given to you. Do you know that, brothers and sisters, the word of God can clean us up? It's like soap, man. I mean, it's anti-sin. Amen. Your antibacteria. It's anti. It will clean us up.
There you go.
I mean, it'll take all that stuff off. We'll be, I reminds me, I got all the pool experiences this morning. But it reminds me, I was in the pool. What do y'all have in there? Was that chlorine? Yeah. All that chlorine stuff. Man, and when I got out, I smelled like chlorine. I got back to the house, and Joe was like, you're not going to take a shower, right? I said, no, I that smells good. No!
No, you don't.
But amen. She said, but watch this, listen. The word of God cleans us up. But that's why it's so important to bathe every morning with the word of God.
Yeah.
Oh, the fragrance, the scent that it leaves behind. People know when you've been in the Word, but more importantly, you and I know if you've been in the Word.
There you go.
Man, when I ain't been in the Word, when I ain't been in the Word, you're always in the Word. I'm not talking looking for a sermon. When I've not been in the Word, feeding myself from the Word of God, I tell you what, I can tell you.
Right.
Man, I'm shorter in my answers and shorter. I ain't never seen that from you. My book, my wife has a book on that. It's coming out, I think, in 2022. Listen, but nonetheless, I tell you what, when I'm in that word, my response is different. My behavior is different. Because I've been eating this word, and this word's been filling my mind, it's been filling my heart, and then you know what the Bible says? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Sometimes we go, oh, I don't know where that came from. We don't. Amen.
Yep.
But when that stuff ain't in there, man, you got the right stuff coming in there. Amen. Then it will remind me of that deacon, bless his heart. The deacon was in church. It is a true story. I wasn't there. But they said the deacon was in the church, and then he went to sleep by mistake, and then there was a bee or something that was rhyming up in the ceiling. It's down south. And that thing came by there and stuck him right in the head, and he was supposed to sleep. That's what he was saying. And man, he woke up and jumped up and cussed. Amen. He forgot where he was at. But listen, so what do you do? He just left out the church. Amen. He's gone for a couple weeks. But nonetheless, though, but you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. But as you and I pour that word inside us, it cleans us. But let me show you one thing to this cleaning process. Look at 1 John. Yeah, you know. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. And this is the part, guys, this is the part that's sometimes tough for us. I'm using the word us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, y'all remember that we read that verse in Isaiah. We said, not that my head is too short, not that my ears are too heavy. The sin's in the way. But right here, he tells us how to take care of that. It means to confess our sins. To confess means to acknowledge. It means to see it like God sees it.
Right.
In other words, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was jacked up on the floor. Lord, I blew it. I messed up. Be honest. And the Bible says, if we do this, that means not you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is trustworthy, and just to forgive us of our sins, and there we go, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He knows how to clean us up if we confess.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's a hard thing to do. That means to confess means to say I was wrong. Woo!
Yeah.
Y'all know how we do sometimes. Not us, some other Christians do sometimes. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. You know that ain't real. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then some of us be like, okay. Sometimes that ain't real either. It's like, you know, yeah. Some people know how to work that stuff up. You know how, you know what I'm talking about. You can make them tears flow. No, to confess means to be genuine, to be transparent. And the Bible says, if we confess, that he will clean us up. Then the last one was look at this one. Not only we talked about the unwillingness, the unclean lifestyle, and the unbelieving heart. So I don't take care of that, preacher. Let's believe him. Let's believe him. Look what the Bible says over in Matthew 9, verse 28. Matthew 9, and look at verse number 28. Matthew 9, look at verse number 28. Look what the Bible says. Matthew 9 and verse 28. This is a good scripture. It's a helpful scripture. But more than that, we can apply it. The Bible says in Matthew 9 and verse number 28, Matthew 9 and verse number 28, the Bible says this. The Bible says, and when he was coming to the house, talking about Jesus, the blind man came to him, then Jesus said unto them, believe. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Do you believe it's possible for me to do this? And the Bible says, they said unto him, yea, Lord, yeah. And then the Bible says, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to what?
Your faith.
Your faith. And my prayer would say, boom, shakalaka. He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And the Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and straightway Jesus charged them, saying, see that no man knoweth. But notice what it says here, and their eyes were opened, because he said, according to your faith, they said, yes, we believe, according to your faith then. So see, what we believe does affect a lot of things in our life. Now, I ain't making this up. This is the Bible said. Let me give you another verse for the same talk. Look at Matthew 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse number 20. Now, I don't mean you start saying, well, I believe I'm going to give you a Mercedes. Okay. Did God ask you about he going to give you a Mercedes?
Mm.
Well, no, I just believe. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. But look what Matthew 17 said. Now, I ain't saying he won't give you a Mercedes, but I don't want one. But listen to what it says here. Matthew 17 and verse 20. The Bible says this. And Jesus said to them, because, I'm dealing with unbelief, y'all. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, let me back up y'all, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why could we cast him out? They had that demon situation going on. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, the Bible says, as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove. Hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing. Oh, my soul, y'all. There it goes. And nothing shall be impossible unto who?
You.
You. If you believe. But your unbelief. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, there's certain mountains in our life that we can't climb over or we can't tunnel through because of our unbelief.
Yeah.
We don't believe. You're right. For example, okay, when he was in that pool, at first he was like, I can't. Yes, you can. Grab a hold of Pop-Pop's hand. He grabbed a hold of my hand. Then he launched out. Then he started doing it. But first, his first response, I can't. He jumped over, Miss Elizabeth was in the deep end. And so we came on that side. He came up out the water. At first, he didn't want to go to the deep water. He's like, that's it. No deep. But it's like, how do you know that's deep? But he knew. But now, come over there, pulls up to the top, stands on the end. So he's going to jump into Melissa's hands. Now, at first, he was like, I don't know why you're there. But then he jumped. He had done it before, the week before. And then he did it again. Do you know what he was saying? I believe if I jump in that pool, and even though it's in the deep end, and even though Melissa's feet not touching the bottom either, but she's going to catch me and make sure I don't drown. Let me ask this a question. Do we believe that God will help us not to drown? And if we believe that he will help us not to drown, we will jump into his arms and he will catch us. If we believe. And sometimes we got to go back to that father. That father, he says, Lord, I believe, but help. But help thou my unbelief. I've got two questions. We're done. The first question is this. Are we limiting God? Are we limiting God? The second question is this. Let's come and honestly cry out to God this morning in Jesus' name. Let's come and honestly cry out to God this morning in Jesus' name. Why is that, preacher? Because he wants to help us. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the